One of CCW's core values is biblical truth, and that's making God's word our guide. This Bible was given to me April 23rd, 1987, and that's when I began using this Bible as my roadmap for life. It has become my instructional manual. It has helped me learn to be a godly wife and mother. It has helped me to learn how to use my resources. I've learned how to love people with this word, and also I have learned how to deal with conflict. And there have been times in my life where this word has been the only thing that has able to get me up out of bed on days when I just don't want to. I don't always get it right, but I know one thing is for sure, that this word is true and it is right. And one of my prayers for everybody is that when you open this word and you begin to read its words, that it will penetrate your heart and your mind and your soul so that you can be the person that God has created you to be.
Hey, it is so good to be back up here and to be able to look at you guys, especially with a brand new series like this getting started. Kathy, I love her and her love for God's word. We've got a lot to talk about today, but first, I just want to say hi, man. Whether you're watching online at home or over in the gym or over in Building B, right here in the live audience, feels like forever since I've been up here to be able to look at your beautiful faces. And the reason for that is, as some of you know, back in June, I was able to go on a spiritual renewal retreat, just to kind of get some refreshment with God for about 17 days. I was able to do some stuff, get out in the woods, go on some trails, go in some caves, do some things outside, away, turn off Facebook, turn off the TV, just away from my emails and work and phone, and just disengage and go be with God. And it was an amazing time for me to be able to do that. So first of all, I just wanted to say thanks, and I love you guys, and I missed y'all while I was out there, but also to kind of fill you in just a little bit about just how amazing God can be when we just kind of put everything else behind us and go be with Him. Now, there's a picture of the cabin I was in. Not really. That's up at Chinsegut, right here in Brooksville. Beautiful place. A lot of trails to go down inside of my cabin. Was able to just kind of be alone with God and to journal and to read and to pray and to fast and to just kind of be by myself with Him. And it was just an amazing, amazing time along the way. My plan was to take a few days up there, and then I would take a few days here. I met some people, did some pretty cool stuff with God during the next week, and then Lisa and I got to spend some time with some friends going up to North Carolina. And our intention was, after being alone with God and being together for those almost 3 weeks, that we would go on our family vacation for the summer, take another 2 weeks. So around July 3rd is when everything changed. We were just getting ready to pack up and come home back to Florida and then head back up to Indiana when I got a phone call from my dad. It was on July 3rd. He called me and he said that he had tested positive for COVID-19. He lives right up here in Ocala. I was in North Carolina, and I just kind of couldn't believe what I was hearing on the phone. And then the next morning, Dad went into the hospital, Advent Health up in Ocala. Remarkable place, great healthcare heroes up there. But he went straight into the ICU after that. And in three weeks, my dad was gone. This happened last Saturday, is when he left this world for heaven. And it's just you just don't know, man, what's going to happen. Over the process of the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks of my life being with God and then learning just what it means to hold on for dear life for Him, to every prayer, every word of Scripture. And my dad, when he got sick, I want to tell you, he did not, just go through this alone. Even though he was alone in a hospital room, God put Christian nurses in his room. God allowed us to talk to him on the phone and to text him. God surrounded him, surrounded me, surrounded our family, my brother, with prayers and support and encouragement from you. And when I say I love you, I love this church. I love this family. I love our leaders. Leaders that allow our pastors to go away and to refresh. This is my first retreat in over 30 years of ministry to be able to do this. And then leaders who come around. They were the first men that I texted when I found out about Dad. Every time a new thing would happen in the hospital, they were the first guys that I texted and got on Facebook and saw the enormous amount of support. Now, I know I'm not the first person. I've been back to CCW for 2 weeks, and I know I'm not the first person, and I'm not the only person. In fact, there are dozens of you in this room and watching online that have lost loved ones, and it hurts. I love my dad. Some of you have lost parents. You've lost spouses. You've lost kids. It's tough. It's so hard. And we miss those that we love. And I tell you, it's in those times when we realize just how close and how powerful and how intimate our relationship with God can really be. And sometimes he's got to break us down in order to fix us. And sometimes he's got to empty us out in order to fill us back up again. And as hard as it is, I can tell you that it wasn't for a lack of praying that my dad wasn't healed from the coronavirus. In fact, God heard every prayer I had. Actually, he heard all yours too. He chose not to heal my dad naturally. He didn't choose to supernaturally intervene and interrupt the course of nature, because a lot of people are dying from this virus. But what God did was he answered our prayers in other ways, in natural ways. Like I said, he put people in our lives that are just incredible. I've got stories I could tell you for hours about the things that God did as he did them with God's people. Stories I could tell you about what God did around the circumstances and how things fell into place. Something as simple as being able to see my dad again right before he had just passed away, but we got to see him in hospice and say goodbye to him, my brother and I, just minutes after he passed. I mean, God was just intervening and doing things all along the way, and I believe with all my heart it's because God is so real, and he's so intimate, and he's so true. And he begins to work in our lives in amazing ways when we just pull in close to him, even in our brokenness, especially in our brokenness. In our times of victory, in our times of defeat and hurt and pain, we have nowhere else to go. We turn to God. And what I've learned, I think, over the last couple months is that these times when COVID-19 is just kind of everywhere on the news and we're concerned and we've got people in masks and I brought mine today and we just don't know what to turn next. You know, we have all these things going on around us with racial tension and political upheaval and all these kind of things going around us in our country. I believe that there's one place that we got to turn to, y'all, and that is God and God alone. To turn to his word and to know that this is when our values really matter most. This is when our beliefs really matter most. This is when our faith really, really matters most. I'm so thankful that we're part of a church that lives out the values of Jesus. These core values that we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks. Because this, when the rubber hits the road and things really start to get to come out from inside of us and we really realize how real God is and we want to be as close to him as we possibly can, it's when these values in our lives, personally and corporately as a church, they're not just words on a screen. They're not just pages on a website. They're what matters most. You know, we get our core values from Jesus himself. These are the habits that Jesus lived out in his life. And when we start to live them out in our own life is when we really start to see the Holy Spirit and God himself working through his word and working through his church and working through the relationships that we have in amazing ways. So as we start this series this week, you just got to know, man, this is coming from the heart of a man who has just seen and understood and experienced these values in real life. We're talking about inspired worship. Jesus did that and he modeled it for us. Jesus. We're talking about real relationships in the hardest of times. We're gonna talk about spirit-led living. We're gonna talk about selfless service. And today we're gonna talk about biblical truth. Biblical truth, what it means to get into God's word and to get God's word into us and to live with God's word as our guide. It's one of our values here as a church, but it's also something that each and every one of us can own personally, and I hope that we will. You know, we get these values from Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the one and only who came from heaven to earth and put on flesh so he could walk before us and show us the kind of things we need to know as humans. And he lived them out right before our eyes on the pages of Scripture. We see Jesus doing this as he taught people perfectly, as he healed people perfectly, as he died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. As Jesus, after he died, after 3 days, rose from the grave so that we could have life in his name, so that we could not only see and understand him as a man in the flesh, a God in the flesh, but also that we can understand that we've got the supernatural ability to be one with God today, right now, and forever into eternity. That's what the resurrection means to us. And he is sitting at the right hand of God right now, interceding for us. That every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And that Jesus, that same Jesus, as we read the scriptures and see his life, he lived out these core values so that we could own them ourselves and we can live them ourselves. So that we know that when we see Jesus weeping before the Father, we can know that he understands what it means to weep before the Father. When we see Jesus crying out and worshiping God or going into God's word and defeating the devil with biblical truth, we know that we can also do that, that we can worship the Father and we can go to God's word to defeat the devil in our everyday lives. These core values, man, they can literally come into our lives and then come out of our lives as we live them out together as a church and individually, no matter what God can throw at us or God can throw at us or what the world can throw at us. See, here's the thing. These values that we're going to talk about, they're a whole lot more about what God is doing inside of us. And as he builds these up and as he lives these out through us, what happens around us matters less and less. These are about what God is doing in us, not what's happening around us in the world around us. And I don't have to tell you, as I look around the room and as you're watching online, man, wherever you're seeing, the world around us is just kind of falling apart. And we've got to know, and if there's one thing I've learned and one thing you know if you're a Christ follower, it's that God is God and we are not. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes we might wonder if God understands, if God is in control, but he is God and he knows best. And we go to him and we give our lives to him and we understand who he is once and for all and forever, and we start to live out these truths. Everything changes because this is what matters most. As we talk about this value of biblical truth, it's just exciting to me because these pages, the pages of the scriptures of where most of us live our lives, we gain confidence from these things. We gain inspiration from God's word, but it's in times like this when we're going through the toughest times in life that we hold onto God's word like a lifeline. Like oxygen and when we're drowning or like water in the desert, like the one thing that's going to bring us closer, we open up the scriptures. We got our full attention to God and we learn that there's just something amazing and supernatural about the word of God. So we're going to talk about biblical truth today. Biblical truth, what does that mean for us as a church? Well, it means that all of our thoughts, all of our actions are filtered through the God-given lens of the Bible, God's word. It means that our lives, it means that our ministries, all that we do around here corresponds to the principles that are taught in the holy, error-free, inspired word of God. The Bible, the scriptures. 1 Timothy 3 describes it this way. Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture. So if you have your Bibles, just grab a hold of it. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, if you're watching at home, just go ahead and grab your Bibles right now. I want you to know that what God says is true. All scripture is God-breathed. You are holding in your hands the breath, the word, the voice of God himself. And it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God will be equipped, will be trained for every good work. The scriptures. You know, every year we talk about biblical truth and we go through our core values. And it's pretty cool. But every year, usually it seems like what I do when I stand up here is I teach about why we can know the Bible's true. We talk about these apologetics. We talk about the evidence so we can hold the Bible and go, yeah, I know this is God's word. I know this is biblical truth. And here's why. And we go through some pretty incredible things. We call them evidences. Like here's evidence of why God's word is true. So We're not going to get into that today so much, but just a quick reminder of some of the evidence. I mean, you've probably heard us talk about the manuscript, these maps, M-A-P-S-S, these maps of biblical truth. We can know that God's word is true. Here's why. Because of the manuscript evidence. It goes way back to the time of manuscript evidence. We talk about archaeological evidence. In fact, what we're going to talk about today, there's archaeology that points and directs and shows us that all that we're about to talk about today is true and really happened. Archaeological evidence. We talk about prophecy. The evidence found in the scripture, prophecies that have come true and continue to come true. Talk about science, scientific evidence in the Bible and about the Bible and around the Bible, and the stories that come through the scriptures, the story of our life as we live out the Bible. All of this evidence tells us why we can know the Bible's true. But today, I don't want to talk so much about why we can know the Bible is true, but because the Bible is true. Because of biblical truth, here's what happens. Because of biblical truth, because the Bible is true, it matters. It matters in real life. It matters in real time, and it changes real people in real ways, and it really, really matters if we really take it seriously and live out the things that the scriptures say to live. Biblical truth. Now, our companion for the series, as we go through, is a Bible character who lived out these core values in his life. In Acts chapter 13, we read that this man is described by God himself as a man who is after his own heart. In fact, it says that he would do everything that I want him to do. This was a man who served God's purposes in his own generation. That's a pretty cool description of a guy. So this was a man after God's own heart. And we can be that way too. And this is a man who has more pages in the Bible devoted to his life than anyone else except Jesus Christ. And you may know this man as a king. He was a world famous king. But his story begins as a shepherd boy who was overlooked by his own father. As a young man, he would stand for God when other peoples would stand afraid of a giant named Goliath. This man was a warrior. He was a poet, a worshiper, a cheater, a murderer, and a liar. All of these things because he was a real man. He was a son, a brother, a friend, a husband, and a father. A real man with real problems and real faith. And this man, he knew and he loved and he obeyed God. And looking back, this man lived the core values of Jesus. Jesus, who would actually come from his house, his bloodline. You know who I'm talking about? Anybody? I guess it's on the screen, so I'm going to have to keep that a secret next time. Yeah, King David, man, I love the story of King David. If you're familiar with anything, I mean, it's just, you just open it up and read it. You can read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 16 through 31. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, you can kind of open that. I'm going to encourage you throughout this series to go ahead and read through the story of King David. 1 Samuel 16, it starts there. It goes all the way through 2 Samuel 24, a whole entire book of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2, and then in 1 Chronicles, we read about him in chapters 10 through 29. So you can open up and just kind of read through his story, and you will be glad that you did. David was born, scholars believe, around 1040 BC. He was the anointed as a child by the great prophet Samuel. The great prophet Samuel, and one day he would become the king of Israel. He was the son of Jesse. He was the youngest of eight children. Now, David was a shepherd during his late childhood, and his story of killing the giant Goliath, the Philistine, is one of the most famous and told stories in all of history. In fact, when I came out of my youth group and went into college, I went into Bible college, into seminary, they gave us an entrance exam, 200 questions to see how smart we were about the Bible. Well, I took one look at that thing and decided I need to Christmas tree it. See, I didn't know anything about that. I was a brand new Christian, pretty much. I just knew I needed to go to Bible college, and I did. I just started to Christmas tree it, except for a few questions that I went, wait a minute, I know the answer to that. And one of the answers I did know was that King David was that man who killed Goliath. I knew that. You know that, right? You've heard that story growing up, famous story of David and Goliath. Well, just after that, David would begin to serve in King Saul's court. And while he was doing that, he began to attain victories and get famous. So he made King Saul jealous. And then Saul decided he wanted to kill David. So David had to take off and retreat. He had to get into the woods. He had to get into the caves. He had to get away from Saul or else he would be killed. Along that time, he made best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. We see David retreating. And it's just an amazing story of David retreating into those places to get away from Saul. Well, later, Saul would die and David would become king. He'd become king of Judah and then of Israel, and he would reign for 40 years. 40 years, David became the greatest king Israel would ever know. And we're going to get to know him better over the next few weeks, but I love this story, and I think if you know it, you do too. And the reason we love it is because this story is exciting. I mean, it's got just about everything. I mean, it's like just like opening up the pages of scripture and turn on Netflix at the same time. I mean, you got David and Goliath, you got these caves and deserts and palaces and beautiful women, you got these battles going on and perilous escapes and sword fight. I mean, just all this kind of cool stuff. And I want to say that it's manly, but that's not going to make all y'all go, oh, well, I want to read a manly story. No, but it just is, okay? I mean, think about it. It's just cool. It's also inspiring, man. We read these words of David, times when he's rallying the troops and he's worshiping God and he's getting them going. He's like, man, it's like Braveheart. King David is like doing his thing. But also we see David inspiring when he's going through depression and anger and confusion. He doesn't know where God is. And he's just pouring his heart out to God because he's human. We see David, this flawed man, this man who falls and he gets back up and he looks to God, he turns to God, and then God forgives him and restores him and does some pretty cool things through David. He's human. And we can relate to that. We see that this is a story that's challenging. And we read through this as a different culture and a different time. So we just kind of scratch our heads when we read about, you know, multiple wives and harems and killing and battles going on. And what was going on here? And what was David thinking? And, you know, it was a different time. So it's challenging. But all through that story, all through those challenging stories and scriptures, we see God's values rising to the top. The things that matter to God. These core values. And that's why it's valuable to us. And we also know that David's story keeps going and going and going. In fact, he's the ancestor, he's the model, the type for the Messiah, Jesus. The Son of David, Jesus is called. Son of God. He came from David's house, Jesus of Nazareth. So to understand Jesus, we've got to go back to the story of David. And in David, we see the values of Jesus himself. That's why he's called a man after God's own heart, and why we as a church can look to David if we're going to be a church after God's own heart. Biblical truth. You know, David had a real heart for biblical truth. His love for God, his love for the Bible, we see it all through his story. We see it in some special places. We'll talk about that in a second. But we see David speaking to God's prophets to find out how God would lead him and guide him. We see him reading and quoting scriptures from the law of Moses and the history of Israel. We see David looking to God for in the hardest of times and in the best times for guidance in his life. That's our value of biblical truth. Looking to God's word to be our guide. And David modeled that for us. We see him doing it for hope and comfort, for direction, for devotion. In one place we see David's heart for God's word the best is in the book of Psalms in the scriptures. So if you've got your Bibles, the book of Psalms is in a really cool place. You pretty much can just flip to the middle of your Bible and it's right there. It's a pretty long book. So if you have your Bibles on, you just kind of open up to the book of Psalms real quick, okay? I want you to open it up. Look at Psalms right there. This is an amazing group of songs and poems and worship verses and truth right there. Psalms. And Psalms is, like many of you, my go-to place. My go-to place when we're going through hard times and we're going to God for worship, especially. For example, a few years ago, I was down. I was practically paralyzed with my back. I needed surgery on my back, and I couldn't move 3 feet without. Anyway, I couldn't move, and it was terrible. But one thing I could do was open my Bible and read, and I decided to study through the book of Psalms, and it got me through. And I got the feeling sometimes I was reading these words going, man, this guy's flat on his back. He don't know where else to go but God either, you know? Psalms, it's amazing. all through this year, as we've been struggling with things, around us in our culture. We see the rioting on TV, or we sense that there's, things are caving in around us with COVID, or, we open our scriptures and we read Psalms and we realize this stuff was going on back then. I mean, this is desperate times and celebration and just so much packed into these books, these stories and these verses in the book of Psalms. So no matter what we're going through, we can look to these verses. I'll tell you, all through, as we look at our culture and I kind of understand those things, the Psalms have been just a rescue for me. In fact, this has been my front page news. I can go to Facebook and turn on that, but no, I'd rather do this first. I'd rather go to the Psalms and read and kind of get into this first before I go to those things to get perspective. And I've lived here just like most of you have. They've been appearing in my devotions. In fact, if you have YouVersion, Psalm 19 pops up on your screen this morning. They're there. They've been in my devotions. They've been on my phone. They've been in my Facebook feed. They've been in the music I listen to, the greeting cards that have come in the mail. Just these precious biblical truths found in the book of Psalms. There's 150 of them. And of the 150 Psalms, half of them were written by guess who? King David. King David. So if you want to know the heart of David and his heart for biblical truth, read his Psalms. He writes in times of victory and defeat. He writes in times of desperation and celebration. He just spills his heart out to God. This is David, and David is me. And David is you. And David is us. It's this gut-level stuff we read in David's Psalms. So out of his 75 Psalms, I went ahead and picked one that I wanted to share with you today. And it's one of my favorites of all time anyways. But then on the first day of my retreat, as I was getting ready to just begin things, God just it popped up on my phone. It was in my devotions for the day. It's Psalm 19. Psalm 19. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Psalm 19. I just want to read it with you. Capture David's heart for biblical truth. This actually happened on my first sunset of the week. It's a picture I took. As I opened it up and I saw where, wow, this is just amazing. And it's just emotional how God meets us right where we are. And I just want you to imagine King David being outside, maybe on his own retreat, writing this hymn of worship, this hymn of truth. Maybe he's watching, he's watching the sky. He's seeing the sun go from one end to the other. Maybe he spent all day with God and now he's watching the sun set and he's watching the stars emerge. And he's just praising God for his creation. And as David looks to the sky, I imagine that he also has God's law opened up in front of him. So he's looking up and he's looking and he's just absorbing God's word before him. And in Psalm 19, we see God making himself known through the heavens, through the skies, through the stars, through the sun, through his creation, and we also see God making himself known through his word, through biblical truth. So imagine the sunset. It's not hard as you read this. The heavens declare the glory of God, verse 1 says. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Verse 2, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. All of creation, the skies proclaim and testify to the majesty of God. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words into the end of the earth. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. And it's just like, they feel the words of David as he looks into the sunset. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Creation sings of the majesty of God. We can know God through his magnificent creation. And then he turns to biblical truth. And this is where I want to camp out for just a few minutes. Look at verse 7. Biblical truth. David says this, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect, refreshing the soul. God's word is perfect. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Thank God for that. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So we can see, so quick review, God's word, biblical truth, it is perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's radiant. And because of that, it refreshes the soul, makes wise the simple, gives joy to the heart, gives light to the eyes. I want that, don't you? I mean, that's biblical. That's what God's word does. And David is just rejoicing in that. And he's thinking and meditating and considering that. And we get to read these scriptures thousands of years later and go, yes, it's still true today. Look at the next verse. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. See, this is where it starts, is with the fear of the Lord and understanding his word is true. He says, the decrees of the Lord, again, biblical truth, firm, firm, and all of them are righteous. I love verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold, valuable, much more valuable than anything we could ever attain on earth. Gold was the most valuable thing in David's time to have. And he's saying, God's word, more precious than gold. He says they are sweeter than honey. God's words. Sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Taste and see that the Lord is good, he would say in another psalm. I don't know where you like to eat out. I don't know what tastes good on your lips. I don't know what kind of candy you like. I don't know what kind of milkshake you're going for after church today. God's word is sweeter. Sweeter than anything else. And it satisfies more than anything else. You know, it's funny in times of fasting, in times when we don't eat, God's word can still fill us up and give us strength. I think David knew that when he wrote these words. And in verse 11, he goes on, he says, by them, by God's words, your servant is warned. So listen to them. He says, your servant is warned. And in keeping them, in keeping these words, there is great reward. Praise God for that. And who can discern their own errors? Great question. Like David knows better that he can't even judge himself. Like we don't even know what's best for ourselves. So we turn to God's word and then he turns this psalm into a prayer. Forgive my hidden faults. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about God's word being sharper than a two-edged sword. That it's able to pierce into our hearts and divide us even into our bones and marrow. That it can get inside of us and expose. I mean, it can tell us the truth about ourselves. And I think that's exactly what David is talking about here. In fact, he even mirrors the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' prayer, if you know that. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be their name. And at the end of that prayer, Jesus says to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us and to deliver us from evil, from the evil one, to lead us not into temptation. You know that prayer. Well, listen to David's words here. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. God's word can help us do that. And then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. God's word is valuable. Valuable as it turns a light on inside of us and shows us how to be the people of God that he created us to be. And when we do that, we will actually make the world a better place around us. And that's what the world needs today. And these last verses of Psalm 19, I say them every time I speak. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. If I had a dollar for every time I prayed that prayer over the last 3-4 weeks, he is our rock. He is our refuge. Who else are we going to go to today? When we're hurting inside, when we're celebrating, when we're having birthday parties like we did last night for my son, who else do we go to for celebration? We praise God for those around us. Who else do we go to when we lose those we love, like my father? We go to him. He is our rock and our refuge. He is our rock and our redeemer. And as a church, after God's own heart, just like David, we can have a heart for biblical truth if we understand these words to be true. And I love this psalm because it just says so perfectly, this prayer, a prayer that we can all pray as we understand God's creation around us and God's word before us, David's heart for God's word. We can have that same heart. And I That's my prayer, that we'll feel David's heart for God's word and that we will want it the same way, that we will crave it more than anything we could eat, or crave it more than Facebook, crave it more than the TV show you're going home to watch tonight. Crave it, to long for it, to thirst for it, to seek it like gold, to consume it, to cling to it like our lives depended on it. See, that's what David was doing. His back's against the wall, and he is clinging to God and to his word like his life depended on it. Is it hard to read? Yeah, it is. In fact, for some of us, just reading anything is hard. But you get into the Bible, yeah, it's hard. Yes, it's mysterious. Yes, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in there to try to understand. But it's also inspiring, and it's also going to bring life to our bones and to our bodies, to our world. Is it inspiring? Yes. Is it confusing? Yeah, you spend much time on God's word, you're going to find out it's confusing. It's also historical. It's also convicting. It's exciting. It's life-changing. And more than anything else, it is valuable. It is valuable for us to live. It's worth it. Whatever effort you put into God's word, it is worth it. We need to get into God's word. And more importantly, we need to get God's word into us. And that's the church that you are sitting in right now. This is the church family that is around us right now as you're watching online. A church that believes in and stands on and lives out biblical truth, just like Jesus did, just like David did. This amazing book. I mean, I could talk about it all day long. I love it. You got, it's no mystery to y'all. I mean, 40 authors wrote this thing over 1,600 years on three different continents, three different languages. We're talking about Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. We're talking about how it all came together. 66 books in our Bible, 39 in the old and 27 in the new. And we read this thing and we go, well, how in the world does this all come together into one story, unified story, one timeless story, errorless story, the message of Jesus, this history-changing Messiah, named the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who came to earth to rescue mankind from our death so that we could have life in his name right here, right now, be changed by him, and then live forever in heaven. The story of the scriptures. Man, this is an amazing book. It's God's truth. And we can live in this thing and breathe this thing. It's about God's people then, like David, but it's also about God's people right now, you and I, just like King David. We're all human, every single one of us. We need God's word. We need to have a relationship with him through the scriptures. And like David, right here at CCW, you know this, we value God's word. So we're going to read it, we're going to teach it, we're going to grow in it, we're going to live out God's word together. And that's how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who makes his word come alive, we're going to see a difference made in our community, in Hernando, in Citrus, in Pasco County, and around the world. Because God's word is true. I love the whys, but I love the because. This happens because we believe God's word is truth. It's because living these words will change your life now and forever. It's because the Bible teaches us how to get to heaven forever. Because nothing matters more than the story in this book. Because today, more than ever, we need biblical truth in our lives. God's word to guide us. And if you don't know that by now in 2020, what does God have to do to get it through our heads? He is faithful and he is the only one reliable and his word is true. To go back to him, now needs to be our year for getting back to God's word, starting right now today with everything we have, with all that we're going through. We need to be burying our brains and burying our hearts into the promises of God and living its truth and in going and making the world a better place around us by living the words that it says to live. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, first of all, by studying it. Studying it. We've got some resources online at ccw.church. You can go online and download our study guides. They're also available at the Connection Center outside. Get into God's word and study it. I want to encourage you to start in the life of David. Why not? We're going to be talking about it for the next few weeks. Get into the life of David and just kind of mine those stories for gold. Study it. Grow in it. Join a small group today. Now's the time. Jump in. You know, just get into a men's group, a ladies' group, a couples group. Maybe come into a Bible study here on campus and start to study God's word together and grow together. read this thing, get into this thing, and then live it out. That's the purpose of our core values. It's how we live out God's word together. So to help you do that, we've actually got a tool for you today. There are these cards. These are called challenge cards. Out in the foyer here by the preschool, you can pick one of these up. Pick one for the biblical or for the core value that you want to work on the most. Mine says biblical truth on it. So I picked that one up out there. They're available at most of the doors. You can pick one up, building A, right there by the door. In the gym. In building B, you can grab one, and they'll also be available online next week. This one, for instance, example, grab one. And I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to grab a prayer partner, and I'm going to read the same chapter of the Bible from a book of the Bible every day for a month. Oh, boy. Okay. So I'm going to read the same chapter of the Bible, book of the Bible every day for a month, and I'm going to take time to pray and meditate on God's truth. That's my challenge. I'm going to do that. So you pick these up, pray about it, grab one, and there's all five of our core values are represented there on these challenge cards. So pick one of those up today. And before our last song, before we sing today, I want to go back to King David. And we've talked quite a bit about him today, and we're just getting started in our series. But I want to take a look at the end of his life. And this is a special story, especially to me, because David was a father, and he had a son. And his son was named Solomon. And near the end of his life, David had some special words for his son. And I don't know if there's anything more special than being able to hear those last words from your dad. So I just picture this happening near the end of David's life, and he's just pulling his son close to him, Solomon. And he's got a chance to share with him what is most valuable to him. And David shares the value of biblical truth. Solomon would follow in his footsteps, and I think David wanted him to hear these words, knowing that this was the most precious thing to him. So I want you to listen close to David's words to his son. Hear God's heart for us as a father. Hear David's heart for his son as a dad. Listen as someone hearing the last words of a father. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. He said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong. Act like a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Do what God says. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands. Keep his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Biblical truth. David goes on to say, do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. The promise of God, the words of God. David's last words to his son. You know, we want to be a church after God's own heart. It starts with us trusting and believing in this core value of biblical truth, and then living them out in our everyday life. So important for you and for me, especially as we go through the toughest times in life, and as we rally and we celebrate and we worship, we're going to do that. We're going to sing one last song of love to God this morning. As we do, I just want to tell you, as we discover God's word together as a church family, whether it's in a small group or whether it's here in Sunday morning, that you can truly know. And maybe this is the first time you've actually heard that God's word is true and that you can trust it and believe it in your life and the story of Jesus and what it means to us. If that's true, then I just want to encourage you to come and to talk to one of our prayer team. Talk to the person that invited you to worship today. Go online and ask questions about Jesus. And if you want to give your life to him right now, forever and always, you can make that decision today. The Bible, it talks about what it means to be baptized and to give your life to Christ. It talks about what it means to walk with him on a daily basis, to have your life changed from the inside out as you walk with Jesus. Make that decision. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we can decide today that we are going to leave this place as people of the word, like David, like Jesus. And then as we read and study and grow together, as we live this out together, he will begin to change us individually and corporately and change the world around us because of his truth, because of his promises, because of his love for us. Let's stand. Let's have a word of prayer together. And we're going to sing this song of love and worship to God. And I pray that you will just pour your hearts out to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you. We love you for your creation. As we look into the skies, whether it's raining outside or whether it's sunny outside, we thank you for your creation that screams, that testifies of your majesty. And God, we thank you for your word that testifies to your greatness and testifies to your truth. Whether it's raining or whether it's sunny, whether our lives are going so well or whether we're struggling in them, whether we're confused and angry, we know that you hear us with listening ears. We know that your truth speaks to us in the desert places. We also know that your word speaks to us in times of celebration and times of joy. And we have so many of those things going on around us, God. God, we pour our hearts to you in thanksgiving. God, we're thankful for those people in our lives that we love so much. God, I thank you for my dad, and I know that there are here people in this room that are thanking you for their loved ones that have gone before us. We stand on their shoulders, we celebrate their lives, we give you thanks for the lives they lived. And God, we thank you for the hurt inside, because it means they meant a lot to us, and we love them. And God, we know that that is your love for us as a father to his kids. So thank you for loving us like a dad. And thank you for your words to us. Thank you for David's last words to his son. Thank you for your words of truth to us as your children, found in the holy God-inspired words of Scripture. May we be people of the word together. Not just here on Sunday, but especially as we leave this place today, as we leave our homes, into our communities, into our families, into our relationships, into our marriages, into our relationships with our parents and our kids. May we be people of biblical truth. We'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, God. You are our rock. You are our redeemer. And we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.